This is Stephen Strang. It seems like depression is more and more common. We even hear about some pastors who recently have taken their own lives. And today I'm going to talk to a clinical psychotherapist about the subject of depression. So if this is something that you battle or you know somebody that battles it, hopefully this will really help. Stay tuned.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Strang Report. I am so honored to have as my guest today a clinical psychotherapist from Central Florida. His name is Dr. Scott Bush. And he's agreed to talk about this subject of depression. So let me welcome you, first of all. And second of all, just ask you, why is it that it seems like depression is so prevalent these days?
Well, thank you for allowing me to be on your podcast. I really appreciate it. Depression is a situation that a lot of people struggle with. Many people struggle with depression, and others would never even realize that they had depression. I'm very happy that it is getting the attention that it should have, because it allows for help for individuals who typically would never ask for help.
And what about pastors? You know, I would think that a pastor whose profession is to help other people and to shepherd, and hopefully they have a right relationship with God, they study theology. I was just shocked recently when we reported on Charisma News that a pastor from California that had actually written for our website had taken his own life. And we're not really here to talk about him because every situation is unique. But what would you say maybe to even pastors who struggle with depression? And maybe my second question would be, why would someone get so depressed that they would just want to end it all?
Many people struggle with depression along with pastors. The challenge with pastors, they are considered the shepherd. They are the ones that are so tough, strong. They have it all together. They're spiritual leaders in their church. And they are also people. And people are fragile. A person may not know how fragile they are, but everybody is fragile. And pastors struggle with depression, anxiety, and other disorders and situations, just like other people.
And how would you tell people to get help? Because I'm guessing this would be a big secret. They wouldn't want anybody to know, but yet people need to get help, especially if they're suicidal.
Right. I find that most pastors, they typically would not admit that they are depressed. They just try to push through and try to make it. It would be good to ask a pastor, on a scale from 0 to 10, where 0 is terrible and 10 is I'm doing great, how are you really doing? If they answer 2, 3, 4, they probably need some help. They need to talk to somebody. The challenge is a lot of times pastors won't reveal that they're fragile or they're having challenges. And that becomes a problem because a lot of them won't go for help.
Well, there's different help that people can get. People would get help from friends and from family, just maybe talking over problems or situation. Or actually, I've used the word depression, and I was sitting here thinking, I don't even really know what depression is. I guess, you know, to me, it's really, really, really bad discouragement. But that's not very scientific. So is there a definition of what depression is? Maybe so somebody could self-diagnose and, you know, at least enough to go get some help.
Right. There's a inventory that we give individuals, and it has 21 different questions. And the individual asks those questions to himself or herself. And one of them would be agitation. And I've found no change in agitation up to I'm agitated at every little thing. That would be one of the factors for depression. Changes in sleep, changes in eating habits, changes in aggression, changes in sadness, hopelessness. Hopelessness is probably the biggest concern because it's typically people that feel hopeless are the ones that are more apt to hurt themselves. So hopelessness is a huge key that needs to be addressed if someone has hopelessness.
And hopelessness that things will never improve, is that what it is?
Yes, hopelessness that things will never improve, or hopelessness that the pain will never end, whatever the pain may be, physical, emotional, whatever type of pain. Those are the ones that will typically kill themselves because they want this pain to end and it's hopeless that it will ever change.
And, you know, thankfully, I've never battled this myself, but I have been around three different suicides. And in all three cases, I'm assuming they were not really premeditated. People had very bad life experiences and they just ended it all. So, first of all, we don't want people to be in a situation where they decide to end it all, you know, either in a car wreck or with a gun or whatever.
Right.
Do people ponder taking their own life for a long time? I don't know. Well, first of all, if somebody's hopeless, they need to do something to get hope again. And most people would go through bad periods and would come out of it at some point. A relatively small percentage of the population never commits suicide. I don't know what the statistics are. Maybe you do. Although it seems to be more prevalent these days. Or am I wrong? Has it been around for a long time?
I think it's been around for a long time. There's a lot more media about suicide. And when you have high-profile individuals that are committing suicide, there's a lot more interest in suicide and suicide prevention. Many people go through, say, a mild mood disturbance where they can be a little bit depressed. But once someone gets to be severely depressed, that's when it gets to be very serious. So individuals that seem to have just ended their life for some minor reason, we don't know what else was going on in their life. They could have had this depression and maybe not even known it. And high-profile people that you would never expect to commit suicide, they have, and nobody knew that they had depression. And so being able to talk about depression helps somebody to realize that there are people out there that can help. And so when someone is very depressed, a lot of times they don't need an individual to give them advice. They need someone to have an empathetic ear and listen to them. And by doing that, that is half of the therapeutic process in a counseling session. And so listening to someone with an empathetic ear, not saying, I know what it feels like, I know what you're going through, but just listening can help somebody cease from committing suicide. If someone is suicidal, there's suicide hotlines that someone can call, and they will give you someone to talk to right away that's trained. But having that empathetic ear and just letting the person just share what they're going through is a very powerful tool.
Well, and is a problem in the general population, but today I want to talk about Christians. You know, that's most of the people, I think, who listen to my podcast. So if a Christian is battling these things, they're not supposed to be battling these things. They're supposed to have the joy of the Lord. They're supposed to be on their way to heaven. So if a Christian, or especially a Christian leader, there's probably a lot of shame involved, is that right? And how does someone like that get help? Although I know enough about your profession that when someone comes to you, you know, it's all confidential.
Correct.
And somebody could come for a different reason, so to speak, and, you know, divulge this. What advice would you give to people on how to get help before it's too late?
If they think that they're struggling with depression, it's a great idea just to make an appointment with a mental health professional. We're trained to be able to decide if a person has depression. We can give them an inventory. And so we have some clinical data on where their depression is the strongest, and they can get help. And it's very painless. Most men would rather see a proctologist than see a counselor or talk to a counselor, but you still have to go see your proctologist. And so you go see your counselor and be evaluated. And if you have a loved one that you're worried about, go with them and say, I'll sit in the waiting area, or I'll go in with you so that you can talk and help them and give them the courage that they need maybe to make that decision. It's not that you're weak. Many times our body can change chemically and it can send us into depression. A lot of times I find that depression is more event related. And someone can have some background in depression. For example, there could be depression in their genes. It doesn't mean they have depression. It just means that they are, say, closer to the tipping point of the mountain. And so then it doesn't take as much of a disappointment or a life event to put them on the other side of the mountain where they have depression. People that don't have the tendency toward depression, they may be able to take a lot more disappointment in life events. And so it doesn't mean that someone's stronger than the next. It's just a lot of it is your genetics. It doesn't mean that you're going to get depression. It means that your chances of getting depression are a little bit greater. So how I treat depression is I find the events that cause the person to go from the side of the mountain where there is no depression, what put them over the tipping point to the other side of the mountain where they have depression. And then I treat those events that cause the person to go over the tipping point. Once you treat those events, then the person typically doesn't have depression. So there is a stigma about taking medication for depression. It's okay to take medication for depression. You can think of it as it's a temporary fix to your problem. And sometimes taking medication, a person just can go through a season and they can feel better. A lot of times they may not feel better. The fastest way to get rid of depression is you find out the roots of where the depression started and you fix the roots. And then typically the depression goes away. So I am not against medication. I think medication is great. Medication combined with psychotherapy is the best. When we're done with the type of therapy that we do, a lot of people, they don't need their medication anymore because we have eliminated the events that push them on the side of the mountain where they would have depression. And so we find it to be very successful. There is a lot of hope for those with depression and anxiety. A lot of times there's someone that would have PTSD and that can cause depression. And many people that are first responders, a lot of them die by suicide. And it's a more of a PTSD problem where the pain doesn't seem like it's ever going to end. Well, we end the pain. A mental health professional can help end the pain. And so it gives people hope. And then when they see others having hope and they got better, it gives hope to the individual that I can get better too.
Boy, that's such insight. And it makes so much sense. And it just seems like whatever embarrassment there is to go get help is preferable to ending it all. Because someone who takes their life, there's no turning back. And I've seen with a couple of friends who have had family members who committed suicide just how absolutely devastating it is to the family and to the loved ones and even to close friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Back probably 2008, I had a friend that committed suicide and I could tell that there wasn't something right. And so I told him, I said, you need to go see a psychiatrist. I only had a bachelor levels in my education. And so I really was incapable of helping him to the level he needed. One day I just felt I needed to call him. And so I called him up and I said, hey, answer the phone. I know you're there. Answer the phone. And that day after he listened to my message and several other messages from other friends that called him, he went in his house and he killed himself. And that allowed me to really have an eye-opening experience about suicide. So once I got licensed, I've had about 4,500 patients and I haven't lost one to suicide. Thank you, Jesus.
That's a great testimony. And it sounds to me, you know, of course I'm not trained, but it sounds like he'd made up his mind. And even with people reaching out to him, it didn't bring him back from the brink. And there's some things that we're never going to really understand. But, you know, you have such a gentle demeanor and you seem so trustworthy. And I know that there are people that want help. And we didn't really do this podcast for this reason. But if somebody wanted to reach you, even if they lived outside of Central Florida, do you telephone counseling or people can come to your office and make an appointment?
Yeah, anybody can call me. My cell phone is out on the website. I can give my cell phone out. I answer my phone basically 24 hours a day. I answer text 24 hours a day. If somebody needs me, I answer the phone. I don't have business hours.
And your cell phone number, which I'm seeing on your card here, is 407-230-4949. And somebody could email you at info@drbush.net. And your website is drscottbush.net. And the nice thing about a podcast is you can pause it and back it up and listen to it again to write down the number. But I would think that if you're battling depression or discouragement or just having trouble getting through life, get help. You know, don't try to just tough it out. We don't need one more statistic. The world needs you. And so I just thank you for coming and just sharing. I mean, this is a very complicated subject, and we could probably talk for hours about it. There are books been written. But, you know, the simple message is get help. And if you're not able to contact Dr. Bush for whatever reason, there are people out there. You can go online and look it up. You can ask your pastor. You can look on your insurance plan to see who's listed. There's lots of ways that people can get help. There's no excuse not to get help. So as we wrap this up, I'll give you the last word.
If you know someone that's having a struggle, it's okay to say, there were people that have had a similar struggle and they thought about hurting themselves. Are you thinking about hurting yourself? That's a much better question to ask than being silent and having guilt afterwards that you didn't ask that question.
That's good advice. And I just appreciate so much you sharing your wisdom with me and my listeners. In fact, I'd like to ask you back on my podcast to talk about some other mental health issues and counseling issues that I think would help people. So with that, I'll wrap this up and thank you for listening. If this ministered to you, if it made sense, if you know somebody that would help, share this podcast. You can share the link. You can even post it on social media. We need to get the word out. So I thank you for listening to the Strang Report today on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which costs around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now let me repeat, you get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. It's trumpbooks.charismamag.com.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.